This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford, and it's the usual crew of Sam and Albert. With me, we're going to talk very little bit about Brighton, quite a lot about Sam turning 40. And yeah, looking forward to it. I guess Liverpool as well. We'll do some Liverpool. I actually have some Liverpool chat lined up this week, so looking forward to it. So let's crack the beers first. Let's crack the beers.
I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer?
I've got one from the Magic Rock Brewery this week. Please, Huddersfield. We just checked before the recording. They're seventh at the moment. They can make the playoffs and get promoted. And then we can resume Magic Rock Brewery at away games, which would be nice. Hesketh, you actually had a beer.
Yeah, I'm also still drinking it. I haven't just finished. I got a crate of Dos Equis, which is my favourite beer, Mexican beer, from my wife for my birthday.
So it was your birthday. All right, mate, we get it.
All right. So I thought I'd crack open the first bottle and share with you guys.
Albert, on the other hand, said he's got something that would make me cream my knickers.
Evening. Well, yeah, we're down to the dregs in our house, which is why I've just finished a bottle of Cobra, which is, I mean, listen, I know you guys rib me for drinking Heineken and Budweiser, but Cobra's just not up to scratch. And I think there's a reason why they serve it with curry, you know, because you're all about the grub at that point. So I've had that, so that's put me in a bad mood. And then the only thing left in the fridge, who likes jam donuts?
Oh.
Because all I've got left in the fridge is a Tiny Rebel, Pump Up the Jam, a jam donut pale ale, which listeners of the show will know I'm going to really, really enjoy. So this one's for you, Terence.
You might be shocked, or have you actually had it before?
If I've had it before, I would have probably been quite pissed already and can't remember. there's no way I'd agree to it under any other conditions. So happy birthday, Sam.
Thank you very much. You know,
from one donut to another.
Bottoms up.
I have to say, it smells lovely because it smells like strawberry jam, but I don't want that in a beer.
Pump up the jam, pump it up. Oh, his face.
I mean,
I've got to be honest, I'm not a fan of that one. I've had it before.
I'd rather dip a jam donut into a
Cobra
and just eat that. That is not okay. But happy birthday, Sam.
Thanks.
Well, apparently also, which is not okay, is recording a day late. Chris, who was our guest on the show a few weeks back from One More Point, He tweeted us saying, Thursday night is when I get the wine and beer in for the weekend from Aldi whilst listening to Back in the Nest preview podcast. But where is it? No new episode. My weekend is ruined and we haven't even reached Friday. Who's taking the blame this week?
I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. I don't know what. I've got no excuse.
I just say that's very big of you because it was quite clearly my fault. But you know,
it's my new. I'm 40. I've turned over a new leaf. I'm trying to be more benevolent.
I couldn't let you wear that one, mate. I appreciate it. It was me.
Well, it was actually, you could have got away with it and said that we were waiting for Hesketh's birthday present to be delivered, but looks like it's not turned up.
Can't believe it. From someone, and it was from someone who, you know, is very famous for always turning up. There's a slim chance it might still arrive, so I'm tempted to not spoil it, but, you know. Yeah,
For the benefit of people listening, I legitimately don't know what they're talking about, but they're both smirking.
So did you not know? Because I took a screen grab to do with it and I was meant to send it to Terrence, but being right. Busy, tired, not concentrating, I sent it to the back of the Nest.
Well, in that
WhatsApp group instead.
In that case, I do know what you're talking about. And I can confirm there has been no fireman stripper that has come to my house.
No.
So it's a bit late. Vanessa might find it a bit weird, but I'm up for it.
No, we reached out to a palace legend to try and record Sam a little message, but like I say, uncharacteristically, they just haven't delivered. But, you know, by the letter of the contract, they've got 24 hours left and they might pop up with a late winner.
Were they pulled in their arse afterwards?
No comment. Oh, yeah, yes, it's Ian Wright. Yeah, we'll see if that comes. Hopefully it will arrive for next week. If not, it's just going to be slander to his name in 2 weeks' time on the podcast.
And to think I did the bowing down gesture when I last saw him walking across the family stand for the what game was that? What was our last game that was on Amazon?
Was it Norwich? Leeds? Norwich? Norwich.
Leeds. Yeah, I think it was Norwich.
Norwich.
Damn. Anyway, happy birthday, Hesketh, once again.
Cheers.
Hope you enjoy your present that may or may not arrive.
Novel that you saw a footballer at a football match instead of like Butlins or Soho or
they're on comms duty.
Yeah, talking to comms duty, me and Hesketh arrived so early at the stadium at Brighton. We saw Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher and all the Sky lot walk through the away end.
Did you
to get to where they were going? Yeah,
we did. We managed to get to the ground before it was even open, so we were there fairly early.
This occurred because me and my missus made a weekend of it in Brighton, and I'd previously forgotten that I'd said to Hesketh that no one's going with him, no one's going with me, so we'll go together. And I'd forgot that. So Hesketh had to third wheel it with me and my wife for...
awkward.
No, it was lovely. We got an early train up to avoid rush hour and had a dinner at the diner on the seafront, the American diner on the seafront.
Table for three.
Yeah. And...
it's not what it looks like.
Yeah, and so it was sort of like...
Put my keys in the bolt.
I was pretty sure though that only set of keys in there, like worst part.
Terrence can't drive.
Yeah.
But I do have, and that isn't a euphemism. That genuinely isn't a euphemism.
Yeah, I genuinely have car keys now. I have a car, but yes, you're right. I can't drive. But yeah, so that was dinner was over by 5:30, so we just got jumped to train to Falmer, and then you know it's pretty good as an away end, but. Went a bit mental, didn't it, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, the calm before the storm, it started off, we were there, yeah, like at 6 o'clock, got a beer, and we're just standing having a chat, and a very, like, nervy-looking steward walked up to his, I guess his supervisor. Bearing in mind there's maybe, like, 8 or 9 people in the concourse total, and he walked up to his supervisor, and he was like, are these all Palace? Is it going to be all Palace in here? Really nervous. like he, and the guy was like, yeah, it's the away end, and then walked off. And so this nervous steward sort of stood near me and Terence, just legitimately looking really nervous.
To the extent I wanted to walk over to him and be like, you look a bit nervous, mate. Are you going to be there at the front when Brighton rush the away end and it all kicks off?
And for about half an hour, as people sort of trickled in, he was just stood there, not really doing anything, because didn't have to, but genuinely looking very, very timid and very nervous. And then it all sort of snowballed in the course of about 15 minutes. And he turned from, you know, a tiny little wallflower to an absolute raging lunatic party animal. And I'll let Terence pick up the thread.
Yeah, literally just we picked this bollard and just stood leaned against it, and then for some reason it's like everyone gravitated towards where we were standing, and it's where everyone started singing, bouncing up and down, throwing beers everywhere and singing songs, to which you could just see the grin getting wider and wider on this steward's face. Side note, there was a female steward as well, who at one point came over to me and Hesketh and said, are you two twins?
both of us equally insulted for different reasons.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you should be more upset at that.
But then, it all snowballs over about 15 minutes. And then next thing you got people literally climbing the rafters. And the first bloke to do it jumps up this bin, climbs up the wall, and then is on these, they have these sort of separators so they can change the size of the away end and stuff. And he's just standing up there, leads a chant of "We love you." And then obviously when he looks down, being like, I want to get down from here, he sees just stewards everywhere waiting for him to get down. And like, he's like playing Call of Duty or something, but in real life, he pulls 2 smoke bombs out of his back pocket, cracks them, drops them on the floor, and then makes his escape through the smoke.
He's a fucking ninja.
Yeah, it's like with the 1960s Batman episode where he lets off the bat bomb, and then you see his sort of the smoke goes, but he hasn't got quite far away enough.
It was just brilliant. And this whole time, all the stewards are standing there, like really looking concerned, but this previously really nervous steward, he's jumping up and down, screaming with all of the Palace fans, learning the words "So we love you" with his phone out, filming the guy. Just like, what is going on? And it was like he just forgot that he was working and just got roped up in all of the fun and just, had a laugh. And like, fair play to their stewards. Their stewards were all like pretty actually good natured with it all. And then the police come in at about 7:15, 7:20, and ruined the vibe. It was brilliant.
It was good fun. And actually, I don't know for sure if it was him. It looked like him. The guy who sort of chucked the smoke bombs off and jumped off the rafters may or may not be picking up an assist in fantasy football for during the game.
Yeah. So the guy or girl, the person, they shall remain nameless, who threw the smoke bomb for the penalty was directly in front of us, plus one row. So when they've lobbed it and it's landed perfectly on the goal line, it's just like, he's going to save it. He's going to save this penalty. It's just there's something about it. You just got this feeling that he was going to save it. And when he did, everyone was like all over the person that threw it. Just basically like, you've got an assist for that penalty save. Like, absolutely got an assist for that penalty save. Absolutely brilliant. And then typical Palace, we concede from the corner. But thankfully it was disallowed. But so fair play to that bloke. I've given away his sexual. He's sex again. Sorry. That person, fair play.
Hesketh, though, it was a bit.
You've really narrowed down the amount of suspects by specifying that it was a bloke.
I've never seen so many smoke bombs at an away game. They were literally everywhere, like constantly out back being let off, constantly during a game being let off. I've never been around so many smoke bombs in a game before, like just ridiculous. To the extent that after the game, because I was going back to Brighton to the hotel where my missus was, when it gets to the train station and I have to split off from all the Palace fans who are basically being kettled onto the East Croydon train, and I sneak off down to the Brighton train, which is full of Brighton fans, and I'm like, you know, keep my nut down, hood up, or keeping all to myself, get to Brighton station, all fine, walk all the way home. When I get there, I realise that my mask is covered in red smoke bomb smoke. So there was no incognito about it. You only had to take one look at me, and it was very, very obvious that I was a Palace fan. But alas, I made it safe. But yeah, Hesketh, it was a lot of fun, a lot of partying, a lot of debauchery. And it was acceptable for you to do because it was before your 40th birthday. It would have been fully unacceptable behaviour 2 days later or 3 days later.
Yeah, I've left it all behind.
Well, except you've gone full on midlife crisis, and you've got a tattoo, your first ever tattoo.
Yeah, I mean, much like you, I can't drive, so getting a sports car or a motorbike sort of.
Fucking hell, your swingers party would be rubbish.
Yeah,
just looking at an empty bowl.
Yeah.
So yeah, the sports car and the motorbike were off the list, but. I did get a Palace-related tattoo, yeah.
Do you want to describe it to listeners?
Sure. It's on my arm. At the top it says SW16 because I'm from Streatham and I've lived in SW16 my whole life. At the bottom it says SC25 because we all know that's where Sellers Park is. And then there's a line which is basically like the route on Google Maps from one to the other. It's actually Green Lane, if anyone cares. That's the road that it is.
Know it well.
And that's it. And it's fucking painful. And this is the painful thing. I knew my pain threshold was very low because I'm a massive wuss. You'd think I'd be... I'm very clumsy, so I'm always bruising. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll be used to it. And within about 2 seconds, I was like, oh, this is not going well. This fucking hurts.
How long did it take?
It didn't take that long. It took about 20 minutes from start to finish.
And how did they, obviously it's a specific line, because like you say, it's mm-hmm. the route from, how did they do that?
Well, I had printed off the map.
Nice.
And he sort of traced it, I guess that's what they do.
Yeah, they trace it on first in sort of like light ink, right? And then draw over mm-hmm. that. Basically,
I see. I mean, I could do something similar with my journey from Watford to Sellers, but it'd have to go on like my back.
Yeah, well, one of the first people,
and I'm not sure I could stomach it. It'd take quite a while.
One of the first people that replied was a mate, Dave Carr, who used to play for Streatham Hockey, and he was like, "If I was to do the same for the hockey team, he's from Sunderland," and he was like, "Yeah, same as you. I couldn't stomach having it." Start on my big toe and sort of finish on my forehead. So, thankfully, Green Lane is to Streatham to Sellers Park is quite a short journey. Thank you.
Shout out to Streatham Ice Hockey, won the cup the other day. Nice close final. What was it, 23-2 on aggregate or something?
23-2 on aggregate, yeah.
cream and a crop in the final there.
Fine margins.
There was a shot from the final, the second leg. Where the team they were playing in Victor, who are from Gillingham, boo, we hate them, had like a, they had quite a few injuries and stuff, so they didn't have a big squad. And it got to the point where there were so many of their players taking penalties that everyone had to stand up in the penalty box because there were too many people in there. So the fact that we beat them like 18-1 or whatever the score was in the second leg is not a massive surprise. But I'll take it because a win's a win.
So they were basically just trying to kick off all the time and getting penalties against.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah, I don't think that even really worked either. So You know, they tried. They're just not good enough. They're just not.
Sorry, the penny just dropped. When you say penalty, you mean people being sent off?
Yeah, like in the penalty box, like a sin bin for 2 minutes.
Sin bin. Yeah, I that's remember that from EA, rugby, hot, is it? From EA
yeah.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
EA Sports. That's really good.
Thank you.
That's exactly what it was like.
That rivals your Roy Hodgson, that does.
Have you been working on a Patty V?
What, a Patrick Vieira impression?
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's your assignment. We've got a week off. 2 weeks' time. I want to hear your best Patty V.
Sam's French. Let him do it.
No, but that's too much of a head start.
Have you heard Sam's French? It's with a South London accent. Like he'd have to learn. Funny. Yeah, exactly. Right. Off with the jovial and into the sad news, where we've had two Palace deaths this week. Starting with Paul Hinshelwood, played for Palace between 71 and 83, 319 appearances, 28 goals, has sadly passed away. Albert, do you think Hesketh's old enough to have seen him play? So 83, I mean, we were born in 82, me and Hesketh, so just literally at the time of them, but obviously very well thought of, known to fans as Doris, and amongst his teammates as Fish, and obviously passed away at a relatively young age, so very sad indeed. But you've seen lots of tributes pouring out to him, and I think at the game on the weekend there's going to be some sort of tribute paid to him in a certain minute in the game with an applause, so that will certainly be there. And then hot on the heels, you had Jamie Vincent at just a young age of 46, who played come through the Palace Youth Academy, played a couple of seasons, made around 30 appearances, scoring one goal. Also passed away of a cardiac arrest a couple of days ago. Sad times, really. I mean, Hesketh, you're turning 40, 46 is just, it's around the corner. It's very, very scary.
Yeah, really sad news. I definitely remember watching Jamie Vincent play. And it just seems to be one of those things that sort of comes out of nowhere. Very sad news. And like you say, at that age, it's awful.
Indeed. I can't believe I'm going to say this. And I apologise in advance. Talking of fullbacks that have gone down under, did you see Carl Jenkinson signed for Melbourne on loan? I apologise. I've got to make light heart of serious moments. They get to me too much otherwise. But Albert, this is the guy that a few years back we were seemingly desperate to sign from Arsenal. And because we had the goal to put in a relegation reduction in wages clause in the contract, he didn't sign for us. Ended up at Forest and is now loaned out from Forest to Melbourne. How do you think that relegation clause is looking to him now?
I don't know if he's on the phone to his agent, seeing if, you know, they can still get hold of whoever was doing the
Roy.
Deal at the time on behalf
of him. Yeah.
Roy. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. He was sort of, I mean, I know that a lot of joke, you know, I remember they used to be like, you know, Cole Jenkinson was like the biggest Arsenal fan in the world who played for Arsenal. He was always, that was always, I mean, sort of stuff that we tend to like as, you know, Palace fans. It's like, oh yeah, you know, local lad and all that. But yeah, just, it was weird. It's just, his career's just really sort of really tumbled. And he was on loan at West Ham at one point, wasn't he, I think? Was that?
Yeah,
was that before we went in for him or after we went in for him? I can't remember. But yeah, it just
all sort of in around that. Yeah, I think it was just sort of in and around when we was after him. And
yeah,
I remember not many of us really wanting him either. It was kind of a weird one.
Yeah, I think it was still relatively early enough in our Premier League tenure that you think, oh, you know, Arsenal youth prospect and, you know, tip for England and all that stuff. So it wouldn't have been like, the most disappointing signing just based on his name and his reputation. But yeah, like his career is just absolutely nosedived. And yeah.
Well, I think he's going to be one of the one cat wonders, isn't he? I think he played for England in 22. I mean, I wonder if he played in the Zaha game, because there was loads of debuts handed out around that time. Carl Chenkinson, England cap. Let's have a look.
No search results.
Yeah, no. It absolutely was. It was against Sweden when Zaha made. Was it? It was against Sweden. Is it just coincidence that it was?
Was it the Sweden game where Ibrahimovic scores the?
Yeah, exactly. It was that game. Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched that. Yeah, I watched that on my mini moon. With room service on a massive bed. It was wicked at Babington House. Yeah. There you go. That's how good my memory is.
Bet Joe had
a wasn't thinking of Carl Jenkinson that night.
But like, if you just, so other people who played in this game of that sort of ilk, Wilfried Zaha played, Stephen Colker played, didn't get many more.
Jesus.
Leon Osman.
Wilf and Stephen Colker just played against each other at AFCON.
They did indeed.
Hey, Colker went to AFCON, didn't he? Mm.
Yeah. Sierra Leone, I think.
Yeah, well, he assisted the goal when the goalkeeper dropped it. For some reason, Colker was there. It's the harshest of harsh mistakes from the goalie, because it's the pitch that's done him. Like, his knees jarred in the pitch as he's caught the ball and it's thrown him into the pitch, and that's why he's dropped it. But it just looks like the worst mistake ever. But, yeah. Sad times, but it unfortunately wasn't enough for to send Wilf home. But we'll get more into that shortly. More old player news: Hayden Mullins, Hesketh, has just been sacked by Colchester. Him and Alex Dyer. Mad, really, isn't it? That players that we've seen come up through the youth academy retire from their careers are now in management.
I know. I was thinking about it the other day, just because Sean Wright Phillips' son played for Stoke, and they had Ian Wright on telly talking about his grandkid, you know, making his debut or whatever. And it is sad. I mean, I suppose it's not going to get any easier, but yeah, every time you go and you're like, I remember his dad playing, and you sound like the old man down the pub now by saying that. But yeah, it's weird. I mean, I didn't know about Hayden Mullins. It's a shame. I quite liked him. I think he made his debut in that Intertoto Cup match, didn't he?
Oh, what, against Samsunspor?
Samsunspor. I think could he might have done. Yeah. But yeah.
Playing in the back with Dean Austin or something.
I liked him a lot, so hopefully he gets another managerial job somewhere.
It was in the days of when we used to play with a sweeper. Do you remember that? Three at the back with a sweeper. if it weren't Mullins, it was Andy Roberts, that kind of thing. It was Andy Roberts first, then, yeah. Interesting times indeed. Colchester, of course, in League Two, go a few places up League Two. You get our FA Cup opponents in the fourth round. Albert, we've sold it out, basically. There's a handful of tickets going. Bit of a shock.
Yeah, a bit of a boo-boo on my end. A work colleague who I don't see very often but lives in Camberwell sent me a really excited text message saying, I finally got my shit together. I'm taking the kids to see Palace. And I was like, oh, great. Where are you sitting? He's like, oh, I'm sitting in the White Horse end because it's with kids. It's the family stand just to the side of the goal. I was like, oh, brilliant. I said, yeah, you'll be near me and Arthur. That's where our season tickets are. And it was at that point that I realised that obviously it's not a league game. I've completely forgotten to book tickets and I won't actually be at the game. So, yeah, a bit gutted, actually.
Yeah, they did open up a couple more tickets this afternoon, but I don't think they're in the White Horse. But yeah, there's I think it's to do with the allocation that Hartlepool got and whatever, who can take up what. But
done has made me extra annoyed that it's not on the TV.
Yeah, so have a look after this. You might still be able to get tickets. Good one to get the kids to.
It's got to be a few freebies knocking around for, you know, Crystal Palace podcast people.
You see all these videos flying around at the moment of like vloggers being at football matches and then just getting lambasted in the comments about why are you getting tickets? You're taking tickets away from real fans and things like that. That would be you. You're getting in the way of real fans.
Yeah, fine. Fine with that. Fine with that.
Something else would be fine with is this AFCON ref. Did you see the AFCON ref who blew up 85 minutes?
What the fuck?
We need him fucking reffing every Palace game, mate. We'd be hot on the heels of Man City chasing down the Premier League title.
All tapping our watches at 81 minutes at him.
Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's obviously not an unknown of kind of thing. It does happen, but fucking shit show. 85 minutes. How'd you do that? I mean, my assumption was he needed a shit. Like, he must have needed the toilet. Like, what else? Just like, can I get away with this? I think I can get away with this when a team's 1-0 down.
That's outrageous.
And of course, it just then makes everyone immediately think of some sort of like betting scandal or something, like it's done for a reason.
At least Gary Lineker had the decency to shit himself on the pitch.
Unlike Jason Puncheon, who did not went off for one. Who else was there? Someone there? I feel like there's another Palace player shit thing. Who was that?
Was it Ian Holloway kicking off the little shit all over the walls?
No, there was the coach drive one. But no, I'm sure there's another player who needed a shit. Or maybe I'm just thinking of what's that TV show with the manager and they record it at Sellhurst?
Ted Lasso,
yeah. He runs off with a panic attack and pretends he needs to go for a shit. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Sorry, spoiler alert.
When I'm at work, I do the opposite. Oh, sorry. I think I'm having a panic attack. And I just go for a big tip out.
Just a message to aforementioned Chris from One More Point. This is what you miss when you're going around doing your shopping, is it?
I think so. Definitely what he's missing. But what he might have missed, what, you know, we should keep him up to date, is AFCON information. Jordan Ayew is coming home. Ghana have somehow conspired to finish bottom in that group and not qualify for the next round. Albert, he's been given a week off though, so he'll be back for the Hartlepool game. He won't be back in time for this weekend against Liverpool, so a bit of an extended break for him. Gives Elise another chance to impress against Liverpool this weekend.
Yeah, but you know, you sort of contrast that with Thomas Partey, who got knocked out of AFCON a couple of days ago, came home, and then got knocked out of the League Cup.
You mean Thomas Work Event is what you mean?
Thomas Work Event. Thomas, I thought it was I didn't know it was a party. So at least we've had, you know, at least Jordan Ayew, who can rest up and hopefully feature in the cup game, but. Yeah, Elise is the natural replacement at the moment. And obviously, Liverpool's a bigger test than probably anything he's come up against so far, but you've got to stick him in.
Hmm.
When I say you say, we say Elise.
You're still going with that, aren't you? You really are. And I thought the jam donut flavoured beer was the most distasteful thing I'd had tonight. But you've definitely chucked in a few contenders.
It's never going to go away. It's going to be there forever. Kiyate and Zaha, unfortunately, not coming back yet. Unfortunately, yeah, I want these players to do well. I want them to have international success. So, and obviously, Kiyate made the final last time, so maybe we can expect not to see him back for a while. Heskey, if you saw Zaha against Sierra Leone, really good performance. Yeah. Won a penalty, which they missed, and got a lovely assist from a through ball for Sebastian Haller, previously of West Ham fame. Of West Ham fame, recently of scoring 10 goals in the Champions League group stages is probably what he's more famous for. But yeah,
that's one of the games I watched. Wolf was very good. He was definitely their best player. There was a couple of chances where he was like completely free, and if they'd have slipped him in, no doubt he would have added a goal to it. But they dicked about with it and didn't give him the ball, so he had a bit of a paddy.
He had a couple cleared off the line, didn't he? As well, a couple of dragged one wide, had one cleared off the line.
It was great. And then I didn't watch the game today, but apparently he only come on for the last little bit. So a bit surprising because he was definitely their best player that game I watched. So.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, they're big Max Gradle fans, it would appear, their boss. So it's Gradle who normally gets in ahead of him. He scored the winner in their first game. And it's kind of been the case for the last few years that he's been getting in ahead of him. So be interested to see if he's been resting Wilf up and wants to use him in the knockout stages, see how it goes. But he's probably still got a part to play. The good news is, Albert, is that Salah and Mane both qualified, so not going to be seeing them this weekend, which is great news as far as Mane is concerned, with, as we looked for Liverpool and Southampton, 13 goals and 3 assists in 15 games against us, Mane.
Yeah, I can't say I enjoy seeing the sight of Sadio Mane lining up against us. Yeah, we're going to need every little glimmer of advantage we can get. So, you know, those two being out is good news for us.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously played tonight against Arsenal, night of recording, and have won 2-0 in the League Cup semi-finals. So, obviously going to be a little bit more leggier than us. But, you know, it'd be one of those things where Jurgen Klopp complains about the number of substitutions available, and then we'll probably play the same 11 against us and only make one sub. But there you go.
Might put out those dodgy COVID tests again and try and get the game
fucking on. Oh, 11 false positives. Unbelievable. What's the chances?
What are the odds?
What are the odds of that? So now they can actually then play. Oh, now we actually do have COVID card as well, like another set of games.
These are positive false positives. These are false positives, these ones.
And it will probably be, do they still have to play Burnley? It will be inevitably when they have to play Burnley, and Burnley will have to call off more games. I mean, Burnley are going to have to, I think we've been talking about it as well, are going to have to play double headers. I don't know how else they're going to get it in.
When it gets to the end of the season, I'm going to change all my fantasy football players for Burnley players, because you're just going to rack up the points.
As I say, like, just Ben Mee or Tarkowski, don't even think about it. Just triple captain them 5 games in 10 days. Brilliant. Okay, so something a little bit different this week we're going to do. I'm doing an opposition view for a Liverpool website ahead of the game. So we're going to answer the questions that I've been asked to answer for this article, so I can cheat answer it and get it out of the way.
Terence outsourcing his media duties, have you noticed?
BBC's Terence Ford.
Come on, my BBC article was fucking amazing this week, even if I do say so, myself. It's this 6.5% DDH IPA that's
Glass is empty. Tongue is loose.
Mate. Come back when you've had a fucking jam donut flavored beer, yeah?
But yeah, in the BBC article this week, I managed to crowbar in that Brighton were trying to break a karaoke world record attempt by singing Sussex by the Sea with the words on the screen. Come on. That's pretty good going.
I can't say I've read it yet. It's on my to-do list.
Come on, man. It's like 250 words. Jesus. Anyway, so question number one. It's a good one. This can go up to both of you. This is the ninth consecutive year that Palace are in the Premier League. A pretty outstanding effort for a club of your resources. The tone of these questions. Heskey's holding up a little note that says the C word on it, and it's true. There's a lot of entitlement in these questions, as you'll hear. A pretty outstanding effort for a club of your resources, especially when you think all the teams that have fallen by the wayside during this period. Can you talk us through that stretch of time and highlight a few memorable moments and perhaps a few unsung heroes? So, I mean, straight off the bat, I'm going winning three in a row at Anfield.
Yeah.
Chris Dan Ball.
Dwight Gale. Mila getting Max free kick at Selhurst.
Yeah. Sacco and Benteke did the little handshake thing.
Just straight up, just all of that, all this.
The cameraman who got right up close to Luis Suarez whilst he was sobbing and Gerrard had to swat him away.
Yeah. That gif of the Liverpool fans. Yeah. As we score the third, that's probably my favourite thing ever.
Oh God, that one, the guy whose like neck is like his head as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Liverpool message board that we're talking about how many goals they think they'd score to rack up the goal difference just to, you know, really make sure they won the league. Shout out to them.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's what I'm thinking of. Unsung heroes. I mean, I listed off the two have been here basically the longest time. Joel Warne and James McArthur are both really unsung heroes, I guess. Particularly McArthur. So we would never, probably none of us thought that we would have been getting the sort of service out of him that we've got and been brilliant for so long.
Yeah, I've also got with that.
Marouane Chamakh.
Yes.
Jason Puncheon. I mean, Jason Puncher basically single-handedly kept us up for a couple of seasons. So, and then probably more of late, Jordan Ayew.
Punched that bloke. Yeah.
It was with a belt, mate. He didn't punch him. He hit him with a belt.
Single-handedly.
But apparently, according to teams in Greece, that means it's acceptable for him to be racially abused by the crowd. Because he hits like this. Did you not see this?
No.
He was racially abused. And then the Twitter account of the team that racially abused him said that basically because Jason Puncheon has had a bit of a sketchy past himself, it's okay for people to be racist towards him. On the official Twitter account of like AEK, was it? Or someone like that. It was like one of the big, big teams in Greece who play Champions League football.
On the official account.
On the official account.
On any account, it's unacceptable, just for the record.
It wasn't one tweet as well. It was like multiple tweets, like they were making a statement. And it just got worse and worse. Yeah, it's just dreadful. It's unbelievable. And thankfully, Paphos have really stuck up for Puncheon. And yeah, he seems to be enjoying his time there at least. Okay, well, I think I've got enough to answer that. Thank you for your help, guys. there's been a bit of a sea change at your club from one of the masters of the old school methods in Roy Hodgson. I mean, that feels like a backhanded dig at him
from his
time at Liverpool to someone with a progressive mindset in Patrick Vieira. How did the fans view the appointment of one of the most iconic midfielders in Premier League history? And what has impressed you about his tenure so far? So how did you feel, Albert, about the iconic Patrick Vieira becoming our coach?
Yeah, I was down with it. You know, it sort of spoke really well. You know, it's a bit of a left field approach. You know, it's a gamble on someone that's, you know, has a managerial career but not an extensive one. certainly not in the Premier League. Always liked him as a player. And yeah, I've always liked Vieira. And, whenever he sort of, did a lot of punditry work, always thought he spoke a lot of sense, came across really well. And I'm glad that it's, in my opinion, I think it's going really well. I've got big vibes of Patrick Vieira.
Yeah, I don't think I need to go to Heskey for that. We're all on the big Paddy V loving. It's all good. And I mean, the point I'll add to it is that I like that he's brave, and I think he's got a few things wrong. I think particularly Brighton, that last sub, he got wrong of taking Elise off of Benteke, although then saying that Benteke did make a few big clearances from corners when he came on. But it took away our counter-attacking threat and just allowed Brighton to pour onto us, and we were lucky to hold on. But he's brave and he makes those decisions, and it's, really uses his subs and tries to change things based on what he's seeing in the game and what he's feeling. In the same breath where I say I thought the Benteke sub was wrong, we were all thinking that the not taking Schlupp off was the wrong move in that same game because he'd not been having a greatest game in midfield. But he obviously put him out wide left where we all know he's better anyway, but then also was designed to track Lamptey because of the pace of that Lamptey had brought onto the game. Still didn't work as Lamptey still basically rings around us down that flank. He's some player. I don't see how he's going to be at Brighton for much longer. I know some Palace fans will not like me saying that, but excellent player and is moving on to bigger things than them. But yeah, big fan of Patrick Vieira. So good. We know where we're going.
He's never punched a DJ, Iconic Premier League midfielder.
Yeah.
Never punched a DJ.
Last night the DJ saved my life. Conor Gallagher. How good of a player can he become? Can we keep hold of him after his loan period? I mean, he can fuck right off with that question.
Yeah, I mean,
dagger to the heart.
To be fair, I wasn't like super excited when we got Gallagher. Not that I didn't think he'd be great, but just from seeing him at West Brom, I was like, he's all right. But obviously he plays a much different role for us and has been, for the most part, absolutely amazing. Seems to really have connected with the club pretty quickly. He celebrates as if he's a full-time Palace player, always bigging up the fans, and not just in a sort of fans run real tweet kind of way. Can we keep him after this season? No.
Yeah, what's that? So I find you constantly see people posting pictures of, I bumped into Conor Gallagher on the street or in this bar or in this restaurant, and he's always very happy to pose for the pictures and stomach all the questions of being like, stay, mate, stay, yeah. stay. Because all these, every time you see these tweets posted, the people always saying, I did my best to sell it to him. I think we all know we're not going to keep him with each performance that goes. I think the only thing that is, when he drops a bit deeper, I think he's still got a lot to learn in that position and didn't have the greatest time there at West Brom playing that sort of role. And he's obviously far better when he's at the attacking point of that midfield, pressing high up and winning the ball back there. But so I think three more seasons at Palace will be enough to iron out all those four?
Yeah.
You're looking at me like three ain't enough. Okay, four. Yeah, four seasons.
Let's do four, and then we win the Champions League, and then he goes back to Chelsea.
Okay, good. Sounds good. Speaking of keeping players, are you quietly confident of holding on to Wilf Zaha for the rest of his career, Albert?
Ooh. Yeah, I think so. Jinxed it now, and I?
Jinxed it.
Oh, sorry, is that a Terence Media Watch clanger? Is this the BBC just... got in touch.
We can't post this. No, I think I've nailed how to work within their requirements. I think I've got it.
No, I think it's a I think it gets ever more likely that he will be here for the rest of his career. Unless he's willing to sort of run down his contract a bit, you know, the price drop, the price tag would come down, and you know, somebody comes in for him and he just fancies a change for whatever reason. But you know, I think that's a,
I mean, we're kind of at that point now, aren't we? It's a year and a half left. So
is it? Shit, sell him. It's weird.
Don't let him come back for the AFCON. Just get rid now. Like,
in my head, he's always got 4 years left because we went through that phase where like you sign a new contract every like 10 minutes.
Yeah, which has kind of duffed him up, really. And that's why he's been agent after agent as a result of that, because Salthouse basically, through wanting to earn money from himself, basically fucked him of basically ever getting a move. Stupid, yeah. Really. But
yeah, so yeah, I think, yeah, I don't think it's the most mad idea to say that Zaha's here for the rest of his career, but I'm sure he's, you know, he's an ambitious lad, and I'm sure he's still got one eye on some, you know, somebody of the next sort of level up from Palace taking a punt on him. You know, at one point he was very willing to go to Everton. And I mean, he ain't going to go there now, but me, let's be honest. But yeah, listen, there's other places that he could go if he really wanted to. But
I think those moments are probably gone now as well. Like the willingness to move to a team like Everton. Now we have Vieira and we're playing the style of football we play. I don't think he'd be willing to do that anymore. I think he'd probably just had enough of, you know, he wanted to go and play in a team where they play on the front foot, and that's fair enough. But now we do that. Unless one of the big boys really do come in for him, I just can't see him going anywhere, to be honest. Which, considering some of the abuse he gets these days from Palace fans, there'll be Palace fans actually out there who think we should sell him. But this is me saying to you, on behalf of Hesketh and probably Albert as well, you're fucking mental. Let's hope he's here until the end of his career, like this question suggests. Let's blast through these last three. From the outside, Palace seem to have a squad with a good blend of youth and experience. A couple of young defenders in Mark Gay and Tyrick Mitchell have certainly caught the eye, while Michael Olise and Everett Eze have shown flashes of their raw talent. Do you think that this quartet is one that Vieira can look to build a team around? Or I would say three of those four, yes. Not so sure about Mitchell. I'm still on the fence with Mitchell. I think he's very, very good tackling, and I think I actually think he's decent going forward. Has a decent cross on him, finds his man a lot of the time. But I don't know, I'm sitting on the fence a bit. Hesketh, help me out. Am I right or am I wrong?
I'm a massive fan of Mitchell, so I think we can build a team around him. I mean, he's learned to improve so much in his game over the last, whatever, 6 months under Vieira. I think we can exponentially continue that, then absolutely I think we can build around him. Like, in my head, he's just a guaranteed starter and that's it, and I'm absolutely fine with it. I think those four are a great play. They're all exciting in their own way. You know, Mitchell's quite understated, but we all love him. Gay is as comfortable a defender on the ball as we've seen, maybe other than Mama, since we've come up. And obviously, Ebbs and Elisa are just really exciting, you know, get people going kind of players. So my only cynical answer is, can we keep them long enough to build a team around them? But certainly, I would like us to do so, yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think anyone who sees Eze or Elisa for a couple of minutes on a field know that there's certainly something about them. And big fan of Mark Gay, like really, really big fan of Mark Gay. And no, it's just nice, you know, four Londoners we're talking about there. I think Mark Gay was, he was born in Abidjan, like Wilf, same as Wilf, right? But yeah, like, you know, brought up in London, really, really great to see, really, really excited for the future for them. And again, like you say, keeping hold of them is probably more of what we're looking at. A trip to Selhurst Park to play Palace is certainly a fixture where Liverpool expect to work very hard for the 3 points, like last season when you tanked a 7-0. Have you noticed any differences in the way Vieira sets up sides when coming up against? No. Coming up against the elite sides of the division? No, basically. We went to Man City and played exactly the same way. It's not scared in coming forward. Both sides will be missing key players due to AFCON. Despite this, who from Liverpool will Palace want to keep under wraps to get a favourable result? Well, Mane's out. So, there's only one obvious answer. Is it Jota or...
Yeah.
I mean, how we deal with our fullbacks is the same as always when you play Liverpool. It's how you deal with our fullbacks that is the main thing, and why the other guys are away, Jota's going to be their threat. And then he nicely ends it for us. Do you have a prediction? Yes, we always have a prediction. I predicted 1-1 against Brighton. So, in the bag.
Good job.
What we got for this week? Albert, tough one to predict because hampered, weakened Liverpool team. They've played tonight as well. Finally time to get a result against them again.
I'd love to say yes, but I can see us, unfortunately, I can see us just narrowly, this jam donut beer is stronger than I thought. I can see us narrowly. How do you say that word?
Narrowly.
We're going to lose by a narrow margin. 2-1.
Narrowly.
That doesn't sound right. 2-1 Liverpool.
Merrily. 2-0 Liverpool. Okay, Hesketh, what you about?
I reckon we'll play all right and we'll give them a decent game, but I think they'll get goals at like annoyingly good times for them. I think we'll lose 3-0. But that'll flatter them.
In all respect to the recent deceased Archbishop Desmond, I'm going for a 2-2. Brave, I know, but I've got a feeling about it. So there you go. So I can't even remember what Liverpool site this was. I'll post a link in socials when I write this. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for buying into my outsourcing. Excellent stuff. Before we do go tonight, just a personal note. Congratulations to my sister who has given birth to her baby boy today. No name as of yet. He is a fat fucker. High in the 8 pounds somewhere. But yeah, congratulations to
her. Have you suggested that for a name? Looking...
No, there isn't, as I say, there's no name as of yet, which is kind of, because we have a boy due in a couple of months as well, we're saying we don't want to like overlap with names, and we've been sort of coyly mentioning names to each other, and we've nodded and agreed at a lot of the same names, so... If they pick one of our ones, of which we don't really have a list, but there's a couple, it's going to be family feud. But no,
I'm trying to think of Palace players with two first names.
Yeah, like,
first name for a surname. Could you get away with Tyrick and Mitchell?
No. Immediately after the Brighton game, is like, my firstborn's middle name is Jordan after Jordan Ayew because he'd scored against Brighton not long before the birth. And then, as a lot of people said, I've cursed him because he's scored like two since or whatever. So people are saying not to do it again, but I think I'm going to get away with a middle name. And
what about Jean and Philippe?
Jean-Philippe, yes. Mateta.
As in, you call your nephew Jean, call your second-born...
Jean-Philippe Mateta. Yeah, maybe it's a good shout. I don't know. Connor, we don't hate Connor, but I can't name my son after a Chelsea player. So,
I thought you were going down a Wickham route there because I know you've got his name. I know you're the first person to buy a Wickham shirt.
Yeah,
Vicente is a very good name.
Vicente, yeah. Who knows? Write in. Give me your suggestions. What do you think I should call him?
But yes, anyway, congratulations to my sister. Can't wait to have you back at games. Thanks to everyone for listening. Obviously, week off next week. No game. Premier League just chucking in a random break in there. I shall be heading off to Bristol Rovers to watch them play for my best mate's father's 50th anniversary of being a Bristol Rovers fan. Got a couple of Bristol Rovers legends coming to the game for us. Should be fun. Albert, good luck at work this week. Sounds like you need it.
Thanks, mate.
Really, really, really hope it gets better for you. Hesketh, you're old, mate. 40, can't believe it.
Yeah, I know.
Off to bed, son.
It's way past my bedtime.
And at this point, your next midlife crisis, I'm expecting a pair of like 10 grand Jordans or something.
Fucking hell, I'll be out of my house if I ever did that.
So yeah, anyway, we're back in 2 weeks. Thanks for everyone for listening. And until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.